Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. When we look at this chapter, we saw Joseph last at the end of chapter 36, as he was end of chapter 37, as he was sold to in slavery to Ishmaelites. And so as we come here in chapter 39, verse says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him for the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." At this point, Joseph is 17 years old, very young age. And it is often believed, you know, that God usually calls us when we are young. Throughout the Bible, we see many examples God calling those who were very, very young. I can give you an example of Samuel. He was dedicated to God before he was even born, as we know. You look at Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah, he was just a kid, and he said, "Who's going to listen to me?" When you look at Timothy in the New Testament, he was very, very young. That's why Paul told him that do not let others despise your youth. So throughout the Bible, we see many examples of people who were called to follow God, walk in obedience at a very young age. One time, D.L. Moody came home after a revival meeting, and his wife asked him, "So how many people gave their life to God today?" And his answer was 2.5. And so his wife replied, "Oh, so 2 men and a kid." And D.L. Moody said, "No, it was 2 kids and 1 man." And so wife asked, "What do you mean?" D.L. Moody said, "The 2 kids have a whole life ahead of them. They are going to give their best to God. Meanwhile, the adult male has already wasted half of his time after worldly pursuit." And you know, I was going to give you a whole bunch of stats, how difficult it is to come to God as you advance in age. You know, most of the people who come to know God, they do it in their first 25 years of their age. But it's not so important what age you come to God. It's important that you come to God. And here we see Joseph, this young man. He's 17 years old. As we saw back in chapter 37, he had 2 visions. He had 2 dreams about how God was going to elevate him. And suddenly, at a tender age of 17, he finds himself in slavery. And here, when we come to verse 1, it says, "Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh." That word officer, if you look at it in an original Hebrew language, it says saris. A word saris, every time it is written, is referred to a eunuch. So here, what it means is the Potiphar was a eunuch, meaning he was castrated. And if you were an officer in the Pharaoh's time, he was a eunuch, and this might explain why his wife behaves the way she is going to, as we read later on. But the theme of this chapter is about the presence of God, faithfulness of God, and how He never leaves us or never forsakes us. So verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." 3 times in the first 6 verses, you will see there is a mention of the Lord was with Joseph, or how Lord was guiding Joseph. And here in verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph, and here, and then it says he was successful man. Now, that might sound strange to us, or perhaps our definition of what being successful is different than God's definition of being successful, because he's 17, he's miles away from his home, he is being sold into slavery, he is a slave, right? And he has no hope. Once you were a slave in that time, there was no chance for you to come out of that slavery. You know, especially when he was in Egypt, away from his home, there was no way that he was going to come out of this slavery. But the Lord says, the scripture says over here, is what the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw, and look what it says again, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Because Joseph was in a Potiphar's house, God poured out his blessing on Potiphar. It was not that Joseph was blessed, it's Potiphar who was being blessed. Whatever riches that were being gathered, they weren't being deposited into Joseph's bank. Potiphar was the one who was enjoying all the fruits of the blessing. But here we see that when when God made a promise to Abraham, he said, through you I will bless many nations. And those who will bless you will be blessed, and those who will curse you will be cursed. Here we see an evidence of it, that God, through Joseph, is blessing the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar didn't know what was going on. You know, Potiphar knew that it wasn't him, it wasn't him who was the reason for the riches that he was receiving. But he says, and that his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Do people who know you, do people who work with you, do people that are in contact with you, do they see the same witness in your life? Do people see your lifestyle? Do where you work, do the people around you, your coworker, have the same testimony as the one that we are reading here about Joseph? It says, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. Do people see God in your life? Or do you walk, do you talk, do you act in the same way, right? In the same way as the rest of the world. And it is very important how we behave where we are. Because, very often, the only Bible that people will read is you. The only Bible that people will read is you. If you are going to act in the same way as the person who does not even know God, perhaps he's a heathen, how are people supposed to know that you are different? How are they going to know? You know, there is a saying, when in Rome, act like Rome. But that does not really apply to a Christian life. Here, in slavery, Joseph was still acting like a godly man, and his master realized that he was the source of the blessing. Verse 4, it says, Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. You see that? Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. It had nothing to do with Joseph being so smart that he had this ability and the way he worked and he came up with this ideas to bring success to this house. It was simply Lord blessing Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. At a very young age, again, we find Joseph in charge. You know, and for all the young people here, and I should not limit it to the young people, for all of us, so many times we strive to get ahead. You know, we want to be a leader. We want to be a boss. we want to be in charge. Here, what we see is the cream always rises to the top. You don't have to try so hard. If you are faithful to God and if you work honestly, here we see Joseph worked honestly and with integrity. When he worked hard and he worked with an integrity, he worked with honesty, even here in Egypt, God elevated him to a position where his master left everything to him. Back in chapter 37, we saw that Joseph, his father, had put him in charge. He was the leader. Although he was the younger than all of his brothers, he was the one who was leading. He's the one who had the coat, and he had the responsibility. And as he was sold into a slavery here in a Potiphar's house, in a very short amount of time, he's once again in a similar position where his master does not worry about anything else but the bread that he eats. He didn't know what was going on. He did not know what was going on. Everything was handed over to Joseph. But once again, that responsibility brings trouble on Joseph's way. It says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And what it basically says is he was good looking and he was in a good shape. He was probably had an athlete body. If you go back into chapter 29, I think it's verse 17 or 18, it says the same thing about his mother Rachel, that Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was beautiful. Verse 7, and it says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Very, very important verses over here. This woman is lusting after Joseph. I like to remind you once again, Joseph is 17, 18 years of age at this time. He's young. His hormones are raging. He's way away from his home, far, far away from his home. There is nobody around him that even know who he is. It would have been very easy for him to just go along, right? He had everything in this home. As he says over here, that there is no one greater in this house than I. Think about that. There is no one greater in this house than I. He was, as we saw, he was successful. He had responsibility. He was good looking, and it would have been very easy for him to just go along and fall into this temptation. Very easy for him to fall into this temptation. But look at his answer, right? He says, he gives a lot of reasons. He says, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Then he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It doesn't say over here that how can I do a sin against my master? Why would I let Potiphar down? I don't want to disappoint him, you know, or I don't want to be unfaithful to Potiphar. He doesn't say that I don't want to sin against you, but he says, how can I sin against God? And there is the lesson that we must understand. When nobody is watching, God is watching. Especially for you young men who are listening, be careful with your ways with a woman, right? And not that the girls or the women they will not get tempted with the same sin. But we need to understand that God is always watching, and it is not against anybody else. You know, you might be able to fool your parents. You might be able to fool your wife. You might be able to fool your husband. You might be able to fool all your friends and everyone who might know you, but you are not going to be able to fool God. Okay? And that's why Joseph here has a very, very important principle in his life. And he says, I cannot sin against a God. Whenever we commit a sin, we are committing a sin against the God, not against anybody else. And that's why when you go to Psalm 51, that great psalm that David wrote after he committed an adultery with Bathsheba, right? In verse 4 or 5 over there, he says, it is only you and you that I, against you and only you, I have committed sin, my God. He didn't say that I did something wrong with Uriah. He didn't say I shouldn't have done this with Bathsheba or anybody else. He said, it's only you and you I have committed. Against you, I have committed this sin. The lesson that Joseph is showing us over here, David learned a very hard way. And so as we go through this scripture, keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind. Because there is a consequences. There is a consequences, whatever sin we may commit. If you look at the life of David and the sin he committed, right? He had to pay a very, very heavy price. Very heavy price for that sin. And so here, Joseph says that, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had every right where he was. The age he was, he could have very easily fallen into this temptation, but he stayed strong. So it was, verse 10, so it was, as she spoke to Joseph, day by day, that he did not hate her to lie with her or to be with her. How did he do this? This was not a one-time thing. Okay, it says, as she spoke to Joseph, day by day. But what did he choose to do? He chose not to lie with her or be with her. He was not even in her vicinity. You know, if there is a temptation, if there is a sin, you know, perhaps it's not a woman, perhaps it's something else. Whatever the sin is, here Joseph shows us that he chose not to even be in the same room with her. And this is how a sin is. You know, this is what Satan does. You know, it's not a one-time thing. It's not one time that you have said you have to say no to sin. It's day by day. He tempts you each day. You know, when he sees that there is something that he can get you with, he's going to continue to tempt you. You know, I wanna draw your attention to the temptation of Jesus. Okay, temptation of Jesus. We know over there that the Satan tempted him for 40 days. Also, it says, it mentions three temptations of Jesus. Of course, there were a lot, many more than three. But if you read carefully, and I'm sorry I don't have that verse in front of me right now. But if you look at the end of the 40 days, it says over there, when Satan left Jesus, it says over there that Satan left and he said, I will come back at an opportune time. He didn't leave him alone permanently. He said, I am going to come back when there is a better time to tempt even Jesus. So how often he probably thinks the same way for us. So we need to be very, very careful and resist the devil, as it says in the New Testament, as Peter tells us, resist the devil because he is roaring like a lion ready to devour us. Okay, day by day, she was tempting him and Joseph fought her off. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. She was still looking for an opportunity. She did not give up trying to have this affair with Joseph. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, her husband was probably a eunuch, and this was the lifestyle that she had. Okay, but Joseph left that garment and ran away. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, I believe it's in chapter 2, it says, flee from youthful lust. Flee from youthful lust. And Joseph demonstrates that in action over here. He flees. He leaves his garment and he flees. And for us men, this is a very important lesson. Okay? Over there, it says, flee from youthful lust. It does not say youth flee from lust. It says flee from youthful lust. No matter what age we are, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, whatever the age you are, okay, we are not above the youthful lust. And when that lust does come, we need to handle it like Joseph did. He left the garment and he fled and ran outside. Verse 13, and so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that, I lifted my voice and cried out, and that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like this, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. She completely turned the story around, right? Now her ego is probably hurt, and now she wants Joseph punished. And she literally lies to her husband. So look what happens in verse 19. It says, so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And when we read that his anger was aroused, we might mistake that, or we might misunderstand that, and might think that it was toward Joseph that his anger was aroused. Bible does not say that. It does not say that his anger was aroused toward Joseph. Most likely, and as we read the next few verses, we will see that most likely his anger was toward his wife. He knew his wife. He knew how she was and how she had behaved in past. Okay? And now he was about to lose one of the best slave that he had. Why do I say that his anger was not aroused against Joseph? Look what it says in verse 20. It says, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. In those days, in that time, if you were accused of a attempted rape, okay, there was a serious crime. And there was a capital punishment for that. You would be literally be beheaded, okay? You would be literally be beheaded. But that's not what Potiphar chooses to do. What does he do? He puts him into a king's prison, not even in a criminal prison, where the common criminals or the slaves would be imprisoned. He was put into the king's prison, okay? And it is believed, as we will see, that Potiphar was probably in charge of this prison himself. And so Potiphar dealt with Joseph with grace, because he knew that it was not Joseph who was the issue, it was his wife. He knew that Joseph was honest, he had integrity, right? And there was nothing that Joseph had done in his time in Egypt to cause any kind of doubt in Potiphar's mind. And so here, from the slavery, he is now into prison. One coat, right? One coat of responsibility. One coat of responsibility put him into a pit. The next time, the coat, right, is putting him into prison. Right? When you are looking for a leadership, When you are looking for responsibility, remember, many times it comes with a pit and a prison. Okay? And here we see that Joseph, by no fault of his, find himself in a prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Once again, did you notice what it says over here, there? Right? The word starts, but the Lord was with Joseph. Whenever in the Bible you see the word but, pay attention to the message that comes after that, because it's always an amazing, amazing truth, an encouragement. Whatever situation we are in, you know, perhaps like Joseph, you have been going through a difficult time. Like Joseph, you find yourself in a situation that is very, very unpleasant. You might not be a slave, but without any fault, without any of your doing, you find yourself in a difficult situation. And just when you thought things would not get worse, it gets worse. Be encouraged with verse 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And as he was with Joseph, he is with you. Okay? Perhaps you had a diagnosis, okay? And you were hoping that you get a good news when you went back to a doctor, but you got a bad news. But the Lord is with you. Okay? Maybe there is a difficulty in a marriage. Perhaps there is a difficulty with a child. Okay? Whatever the case might be, whatever the difficulty is, okay, there is might be a financial strain. There might be a job loss. Whatever it is, remember this word, but the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And look what happens. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And once again, the cream rises to the top. He didn't have to do anything. God was merciful to him. And as he was faithful to God and he walked in obedience with God, what do we see over here? He's once again in charge of the prison. You know, and this is a very, very important lesson for all of us to learn. Okay. You know, sometimes we say that, you know, I'm being wasted away where I am, where I work, where I serve in the church, in my family, wherever God has you, we might think I'm being wasted away. You know, I have so much ability here. In a very young age, Joseph knew that he was smart. He was good looking. He knew he can get things done. He got things done in his father's house. He got done things in the Potiphar's house. But now he finds himself in a prison. But whatever situation where God has you, you need to do your best. Don't think you are being wasted away where you are, because it could be like it is in the case of Joseph, right? God is preparing you for a very, very big job somewhere else, a big responsibility, a big position somewhere else. So don't look at those stepping stones as a way of God keeping you down or you being wasting away. Look at that as an experience that God is giving you. He is preparing you to be something that he has in mind, which is beyond your imagination. Here, God was preparing Joseph to be a prince in Egypt. As we are going to see later on, he is going to manage the whole famine. Do you think some of the lessons that he learned with his brothers, some of the lessons that he learned at Potiphar's house, some of the lessons that he learned here running this prison, do you think those came in handy? God blesses you when he has you prepared. God never gives you anything to do without first preparing you for that job. David was just a young boy. He was a shepherd, but even there, God was preparing him to be a king. You know, he was anointed a king at a very young age, but then God took David through a series of difficulties in his life, where God taught him how to lead an army, how to be faithful, how to trust God. And when he was ready, then he was anointed a king over Israel. You know, throughout the Bible, we see that God always prepares us for the job that he has, a ministry that he has in mind for us. So right now, you might be just teaching in a Sunday school. Maybe you are just a few little kids who are learning from you. Maybe you have a very small role in the church where you are serving, you know, and you see some people who perhaps have a higher position than you do. Don't be discouraged. God might be just be preparing you for something that he has in mind, something that might be beyond your imagination. Wherever you are, work faithfully, work honestly, and work in the fear of God. And if you continue to do that, as we see here in the life of Joseph, you will rise to the top. Rise to the top. And so we see, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. Again, you see this message over and over again in this chapter. The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Who made it prosper? The Lord made it prosper. Don't ever think. Maybe you are in a position where you think it is you who is doing everything. That you are the reason for the success of whatever is happening wherever you are. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. It is the Lord who made it, made everything the way it was, and Lord made it prosper. So, you know, as we end this Thanksgiving weekend, I think it's such an appropriate place. Here, as we started out the chapter, the first six verses, we saw Joseph's enslavement. Okay, he was sold into slavery. From the 7th verse all the way to the 19th verse, we see the Joseph's harassment. And over here, as we looked at from the verses 19 to 23, we saw Joseph's imprisonment, right? And these were difficult times, but as we will see in the next few weeks, God was faithful. God had a plan, and his plan is never derailed. No matter what comes in our way, his plan is never derailed. What he says, he's going to do. And he does what he says. He is faithful. And if you have been paying attention for last few Bible study, that has been our theme. The faithfulness of God. His goodness. What he has promised, he is able to do. Right? And that's why I want to draw your attention to Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for those who trust in God. Later on, as you come to the end of that chapter, you know, verse 35 to 39, it says, what will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No harassment, no enslavement, no imprisonment. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. And as this chapter ends, the Lord made it prosper. Those of you have heard the Thanksgiving message that I shared, right? What does it say? Do not forget to give glory to God. Do not forget to give glory to God, because if you are not thankful toward God, if you have a spirit in your heart where you say, it is my hard work, it is my ability, it's my intellect, it's my education, it's my background, that is the reason for my success. That is the reason why I have all the blessings that I have in my my life. That is a very dangerous place to be. Because whatever we are, wherever we are, whatever material blessings that we enjoy, it is because Lord has made it prosper. So as we end this Bible study, As we end this Thanksgiving weekend, if you haven't done so, take a few minutes and thank God for His mercy and His grace in your life. And if you have not yet given your life to Jesus, perhaps that is the biggest blessing that you can have. And maybe you should take some time and surrender your life to God. Examine your life, surrender your life to God, because there is nothing to be more thankful for than eternal life and our redemption in the blood of Christ. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for that wonderful blessing that we have in your blood, that through that blood, we have been redeemed, Lord. And in your resurrection, we have eternal life and a victory over death, Lord. As we go through the life of Joseph, Lord, speak to us, Lord, because there is no better representation of Jesus than Joseph in the Bible, Lord. That no matter what circumstances, Lord, he was always faithful, and he was always obedient, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the life of Jesus, the one who is even a higher Joseph, Lord, the one who put away his deity, who came on this earth that we may have life and have an abundant life, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name that we pray. Amen.